Good to be in the house today. I look around and I'm like, I look around and I'm like, I know the thought sometimes that we have is like, where is everybody? But what I look at really is that I'm reminded that we probably gave up about 12 to 14 people in Fort Wayne, working on giving some up possibly to Columbia City. Because it's not about just Huntington, is it? I think we get so focused about, let's get our church to grow. Let's get our church to grow. That's what we want. And I'm going to ask you this. Why? This is the questions that I think God, the Holy Spirit asked me. Why do you want your church to grow? Why do you want the church to grow? Why do you want the church to grow? Because it's not about New Life. It's about the kingdom. Amen? In the end, the churches were just a tool that God used to bring people to Christ, people and believers to worship. And so there's much blessings, I think, that God is using New Life in. And we keep giving away. And you cannot outgive God. Amen? You just can't do it. You try it, and He's going to continue to do and to meet those things. So from time to time, we come up with this thing that we have, we struggle with, and I want to lean more on the individual as you, not all the ministries today. I want to be leaning more on you as an individual, and there's some things that's an obstacle that gets in front of us sometimes that stop us from being what we need to be before the Lord. Have any of you ever prayed, Lord, let me be the man, let me be the woman that you want me to be? How many of y'all ever prayed that? I pray that, Lord, let me be the man. I've done that 2 or 3 times this morning. Lord, let me be the man that you want me to be. The man that you desire me to be, that's who I want to be. But there's an obstacle that continues to come up in front of us that we need to learn how to work through. There's an obstacle that all of us, even people that don't know the Lord, they really struggle with us, with what we're getting ready to talk about. But even as Christians, we are called not to struggle with this, but we do struggle with it because we have a tendency to want to fall back into the flesh. And so we're going to talk about worrying today. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about worrying today. So that's what we're going to talk about, because we have worries all the time. My screen is not working very well, is it? Should have been brighter at the bottom. It always looks better. It always looks better when you work it on your own laptops than when it is on the screen. But we have a tendency to worry. We worry about our finances. We worry about our health. We worry about all kinds of things, our friendships. Parents, if you're older, your kids, your job. Sometimes you might worry about the church. Sometimes you worry about a broken relationship with a brother or sister. Some animosity that's going on in the family. We have a tendency to worry about things like that. We worry. We worry, and we begin to become what we call stressed out. We begin to stress out, and thus, as those of you in leadership, and maybe not even just in leadership in the church, but even leaders of the community and the jobs that you have, you don't want to let your stress show, and so we begin to build things up, and we put this false aid mask on from time to time, so we don't let people know that we're stressing, but on the inside, it really begins to boil, and it's in there, and we stress out on things, and we have things that are secrets, and we're not dealing with them in the proper way. And so what we end up doing, we worry. And we worry, and we worry, and we worry. And Jesus thought this was such a big topic that he was going to bring it up. And this is what we're going to talk about. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 12. We're going to be in a few other places, but we're going to be in Luke chapter 12. But I want to just kind of let you know what this scene looks like. It says in verse 1, "Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands have gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples." I preached a few weeks ago in some of this in a different area, but we're going to move it down when we're talking about the parable of the rich fool. But this is that same crowd. There's a large crowd here. A lot of people are here. A lot of people are here. But Jesus wants to focus on his disciples. That's who he's focusing on, and he begins to speak to them. So we pick it up in verse 22, and after this conversation, he goes on, and he jumps into this thing about worrying, because we are very good about worrying. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hands up, because I know every one of us have a tendency to worry a little bit. Some of you, it's like a big banner across your head that says, I'm a warrior, I'm a warrior, I worry, I worry, I worry. But I want to let you know, this is something that when we read our scriptures, you can get scriptures and you can learn about Moses and you'll learn a lot of lessons in those things. And it's great. We can learn, we can read in Revelations, talk about the future, where's that? But we have a life to live in this in-between, not just in the past where we learn and we learn life lessons, not just in the future where it's coming, but what's going on right now? How does that work? These are the things that we need to apply right now. I call this experiencing scripture. It's a good thing to know scripture, but if you don't apply it, you're not going to experience it. And when you experience scripture, I'm telling you, things begin to change because you're doing it in the way that he wants you to do it. You're doing it in the way that he wants you to do it. So we're going to pick it up at verse 22. I'm going to read this section, then we're going to go back over a few. He says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them, and how much more valuable are you than the birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor, spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? O you of little faith, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so Jesus thought it was very important that we talk about worrying. He wanted to bring this up, because he knows what's up for these guys in their future. He knows there's going to be times when he's going to send them out with nothing. And he's going to turn around and send them out and tell them to take things. They need to understand and know this, that their supplies and their things come from the Lord. You really don't know if you are going to apply scripture and experience it until you do it. Or until you don't do it. You're going to have to wrestle with that moment. So I've got some things I want to share with you, because I know every one of us today worry about something. Every one of us are worrying about something. How are you going to pay your next bill? How are you going to pay the rent? What that doctor's going to say to you on your next visit? If you're going to have a marriage 6 months from now? If your kid's going to go to jail? Your kid's not going to go to jail? The whole court system? Maybe it's for you. You have a tendency to worry. And Jesus is going to tell us through these scriptures how we can get that off. I want to get rid of some worry. How about you? And the way to do that is to apply the scriptures, put them into action with your faith, and have an experience where the scriptures come alive and begin to work in your life. Every one of us look different. Every one of us are living a different life. Every one of us will get up tomorrow and go to a different place of employment, to school, to different schools. Some of you don't work. Some of you be at home. You're going to be doing different things, and people are on the go. But the worries are going to be there. But it's how you're going to deal with them. So we're going to look at 10 things that hopefully I can get through these this morning. If not, I'll figure something out. But I may get caught on one or two of these a little bit more than another. But number one, the scriptures tells us right now that we are not to worry about our life. You're not to worry about your life. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life, right? Since you cannot do this very little thing. And you know why Jesus says not very little thing? Because Jesus gives life, right? And it's easy to him. He says, you can't do this very little thing. He says, why do you worry about the rest? So let's just put this piece in our brain right now. You know what? I don't need to worry about my life, because I have Jesus. This is all about Jesus. Can I just tell you that? It's all about you and Jesus. When you let Jesus be the king, it works. When you let Jesus be your savior, it works. When you let Jesus be your ruler, we don't like those kind of words, but those titles, let him be Jesus. We just shouldn't worry about life. We shouldn't. We shouldn't worry about it. You think Jesus is going to throw you a curveball and not want you to understand it? You think he wants you, he thinks you want, he, you think that Jesus wants you to read his words, what he told his disciples, and go, oh, this doesn't apply to you? Don't worry about it. Easier said than done. But as we get through these, we're going to break them down a little bit. But let's just say this. You know what? Maybe in your heart you say, Lord, right now. So let's pray right now. Father, I just ask today, Lord, I know that there's a lot of people, Lord, that worry. Lord, all across the world, we worry about so many things. But Father, today, as we just break into your word today, may we understand that we are not to worry, but we are to be free from that. So give us the courage to step out and start taking care of this worrying and push it away. In Jesus' name, amen. So worrying is something he tells us not to do. We are not to be worrying about our life. We are not to worry about our life. Can I tell you what people are worrying about right now? They're worrying about the presidential election. I'm not worried about that. I'll cast a vote and I'm done. Because when I see Jesus walking on the earth, you know what he did? He wasn't running up there to all the governors of the town. He wasn't running up to all the politicians and saying, you're getting it wrong, you're getting it wrong, you're getting it wrong. The ones he went to was the Pharisees, and he went to the people, and he began to share, and those people came to him with all their worries. But we're worried about the election. Some of you are worried about the Super Bowl. I ask you 3 years, I can ask you, who won the Super Bowl 4 years ago? Most of us would not know that. We worry about things that don't even matter. But we're worried about the election. We're worried about ISIS. Like God doesn't know that exists. Number two. We're going to stop worrying about things. They cloud our mind. For the pagan runs out of the world, the lost world runs after all these things, right? But here's the good part. Our Father knows that we need them. Talking about clothes and a car and a home. Okay? There's a lot of things that new life needs. There's a lot of things that you may need. Now I want to say here, it says, well, but seek his kingdom and these things will be added to you. I want to tell you right now for a moment. I want to break off on this side little trail for a moment. If you are living in sin and you're walking away from the Lord and you're expecting him to take care of all your needs, I would challenge you to go back and read the book of Numbers when God's people were not allowed to go into the promised land. There are some things that God will continue to take care of, but he's not going to do all these things. That's not experiencing the scriptures. That's not living out. It's not living out the word. What you're living out is saying, I want the things that God has to give to me, but I'm not going to do it his way. That doesn't work. You can't run out and live into the world and be as the world and expect God to turn around and bless you. And of course, you're going to have worries because it doesn't work that way. The prodigal son is a great parable about walking away from what you have, what's good, and walking away, trying to live that and try to get that into the secular and living an ungodly life. You're going to wake up and you're going to have worries. All those, that's going to happen. But as a Christian, one is trying to live their life for Christ, we need to know this, that we are not to be worrying about the things like clothes and cars and houses. We got to take care of those things. God knows you need those things. He knows you need those things. We need to seek his kingdom. Live the way he wants us to live. Be the man, the woman that God intends you to be. Strive to fulfill the will that he has for you. You know how you figure all that out? Through prayer, faithfulness, and speaking to God, and having conversations with God, giving him his right authority, putting ourselves under him, following in his direction, following his word. So that we can work through this thing and say, yeah, I don't have to worry about things. And we not to be afraid. Too many of us are afraid. We're afraid of the world. We're afraid of some of the things we've already listed. God has you. Let me tell you, God has you in his hand. God has your situation all in control. It may not look like the way you want it to be at times. Well, we'll get to that in a minute, but he has it. He has you. He's got this thing about worrying. I think it's one of the big things I believe through scriptures. He's just like, quit stressing out. Quit worrying. All that anxiety comes in you. You know people that worry all the time. Before they even walk in a room, you can hear their name and you know them. You know they're a stress monster. The anxiety's already coming in the room because they're not very encouraging. They're always, let me tell you what's going on. And all this stuff, and it just weighs people down. Your stress stresses people out. Your worrying makes other people worry. It's a domino effect. And God says, you know what? You're a child of mine. Don't worry about it. That shouldn't concern you. Okay? Now, like I said, though, when we start living in sin, we do those things. Things are going to happen, and you're going to have worries over there because you're not living in the way the Scriptures tells us. We're living outside the Scriptures. And all that's all free gain. That's all over there. But you don't want to be that way. You want to live the way God wants you to live. You want to do those things. So we not to be afraid. Let's not be afraid. Okay? Let's not be afraid. All right? There's nothing to be afraid of. There is nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. Why? Because you're important. This is one of the pieces that people struggle with the most. Because we know the sins that we've committed. We know our lifestyle. We know some of the sins that we're still... Let me tell you something. Let me just be honest. Christians are still struggling with sin. We as Christians still struggle with sin. Let's get beyond this thing like, I'm saved and I'm not going to sin anymore. Our desire is not to sin. But you know what? We fail. And thank God for Jesus. Amen? It all comes back to Jesus. But we need to know that we're important. You're important. I don't care what you've done in your life. Jesus came to the cross for you. He died for you on the cross. That you might not have to live that way anymore. That your sins can be forgiven and are forgiven when we reach out to Jesus. And he does this because we know that the Bible tells us that for God so loved the world. That's how much you are important to God. He loved you so much that he gave his son. But we also read this. He says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet none of them is forgotten by God. God's saying, I know the littlest things. I know the littlest things. Even about a little sparrow over here. And he gets even smaller. He says, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And some of you ladies can lose a lot of hair when you're coming, and we as husbands got to go work on that sink. I have to do it all the time. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. He's saying, you are so important. I know how many hairs are on top of your head. Can I just tell you what that means in very simple terms? God knows you better than you know yourself. And what amazes me about God is he knows how much junk we fill our head with, and he still works with it. He still loves us through it. We're still challenged to do what he wants us to do, but we need to understand that you are important, that you are so important to him. Listen, this whole thing of kingdom of God and this whole thing of Jesus on the cross and this whole thing of Jesus coming down from heaven, it's all because he loves us, because we're important. I challenge you. Go back, read when God walked in the Garden of Eden with Adam. What amazing. If you just stop after you start reading, just a little bit of that. So important that God would just walk with a man and conversate. And because of sin, we broke that. And God says, I want that back. It was so important for God. He wanted that kind. He wanted that unity, that friendship back. He wanted that relationship back, that he was willing to give his son for it. Wow. That's how important that you are. And you've chosen that. Some of us have not chosen the way of Jesus. But that's the only way it is. Number five. So God says we're important. A lot of people say we're important, but you got to put some action behind it. And God says, I'm going to put action behind it. Not only did I give my son, not only did I tell you through Scripture that I love you so much, but if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? Listen, you all have clothes on today. Some of your clothes may cost more than other people, but God has clothed you. Has clothed you. You all have a place to stay. And even in the world, and God has places like shelters and places like that even says, you know what, I love those who don't even love themselves, that I will provide a place. I'm not going to give them a mansion on a hilltop, but I'm going to supply them. God didn't say you're going to get first class. First class is in heaven, amen? So we just got to learn how to deal with what we get here and be happy with what we get here. Now I think when we get homes and we get cars, where God says, you know what, I'm giving this to you, and you know what, you need to take care of it. We need to take care of what God has given to us. That's our responsibility. But he says, I'm going to take care of you. And he says, you have little faith. So he's telling us, when we're not experiencing this, we have little faith. When we don't believe this, we have little faith. I want to have big faith, don't you? Because when you have big faith, you get to see God work. You get to see the hand of God move. When you have little faith, you're struggling. You don't see what God is doing. What you see is I have this need. You begin to see your worries. You begin to see the things that are piling up instead. You know what? Going to God, we go to everybody else, and nobody else is helping you. Nobody else is bailing you out financially. Nobody's coming over dropping cars off in your front yard, right? But there's one that says, I can do these things. It might not be the way you want it to because you're not very good at certain things, but I'm going to take care of that. He says, wow, how much more will he clothe you? And then he says, you of little faith. So we need to know this. Some of us today may have to, in a few moments, say, you know what, Lord? I need you to increase my faith. Because I'm about the biggest worrier in the house today. You know what? You don't be ashamed of that. You know, don't ever be ashamed about being honest. Listen to me now. Don't be ashamed about being honest. All right? Number six. So, we're getting through that point. And then there's times in our life, right, that we go, wow, there's something that I need in my life. There's something that's right there in front of me that I have a need. Well, God has an answer for that too, right? He says, if you then, though you are evil, and man, that's a blast there, isn't it? Know how to give good gifts to your children. How many of y'all love to give gifts to your kids? I love giving gifts to my kids. Now I love to give gifts to grandbabies, right? Right, Steve? Yep. So we love doing that. And even when the parents go, oh, what'd you get that for? I don't care. It's love giving gifts. And God knows that. He says, you'd love to give gifts to your children and you're evil. But he says, how much more will your Father, our Father, God, in heaven will give you good gifts, but you got to ask. Let me ask you. If he just kept giving it to you, one, you would expect it, right? Number two, once you got it, you might start complaining that it wasn't good enough. It wasn't big enough. It wasn't nice enough. It wasn't expensive enough. But he says, ask. Why? Because once again, that relationship builds on asking. Communication with you and God. When you start praying, you may have an agenda to go in to pray, but how many of you went into praying and your agenda changed when you began to pray? The Holy Spirit was speaking to, and you just, you know, it's that soft. And so what it is when we get to ask God, what we're doing is we're humbling ourselves. Lord, you're the giver, not me. I need something from you. I need something in this life. And Jesus says, you need to ask. And we ask kindly, we ask. And sometimes we get to that, you know, we get to the point where we got to deal with some sin in our lives. We got to deal with some things in our life. Because it's more than just what you need. There's a whole other things that God wants to work in your life, just not what you need. Number seven. But then someone will say, I'm asking. I must not be important to God because it's not happening. It's not happening. It's time after time after time after time. I want to pull this out. He said, Jesus, you do not realize now what I am doing. Or Jesus replied, You do not know now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. And this had to do with the sick kid. This had to do with this. And said, oh, did these parents sin? And because of their sin, their child had this health issue. Is that why the child had the health issue? Because the parents sinned? And Jesus has replied, you don't realize now what I'm doing. Okay? There's a whole great piece with this. But later you will understand. I just want to, don't have time to jump into this all, but I just want to say this. You don't realize some of the things you're going through at the moment. But sometimes it's God's plan. Sometimes it's God's plan that you, some people might like this, but sometimes that you might have a little bit of more struggle. Struggling is not a sin. Struggling is not always punishment. We know that God disciplines those whom he loves, and there's a peace in that, but sometimes we are allowed to struggle for the bigger purpose. We struggle with that, and then we want to run away from God, and we get all angry. We think the church did something to us. We think the people did something to us. We think God's angry with us. God stopped loving us. Somebody in my family has caused sin. Oh, no, this was calling down to the third, fourth generation. And all, just coming up with all kinds of things except for the right answer. Sometimes, it's the way it's going to be. We talked about that last week. We talked about God's grace, right? When Paul says, Holy Spirit, God told him, my grace is sufficient, Paul. You're going to have that. We don't know what it was. I'm glad we don't, because it kind of covers everything. He says, but later you will understand. Basically, just in short, what I see in that is when Jesus comes up on the scene, they get to see they get to see Jesus do a miracle. I don't know if any of you have seen a miracle, but if you have, you've never forget it. Sometimes it's worth the wait. It's worth the struggles. We need to remember sometimes it's bigger than you, but we are not to worry about it. We're supposed to give it to the Lord. Ask people, how do you do that? Well, you experience these scriptures. Number eight. There we go. But all the things we talked about, there's something that you have to do. If you don't want to worry, you got to let it go. Until you let it go, it's yours, right? If I want to take my jacket off, I got to take it off. Can't talk about it. If I want to take it off, I got to take it off. I got to let it go. Casting all your cares, okay? Now, I usually don't do this, but I got to amplify here because the Bible tells us to cast all our anxiety before him because he cares for you. That's the version of what most of us know. But I want to bring in the amplified because I think it's really interesting how it says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. You know what I get out of this? Jesus is involved. Jesus has got this, if you let him. If he tells you to give all your worries and all your anxieties and all your concerns to him, and he does it because he cares for you, and he'll start dealing with them, and some things take time, we need to understand that. My question first is, how's it working with you in control? Now, would you love just to give it up? You got to let it go. And I'll tell you, when you begin to let it go, you're going to fall more on Jesus. You're going to have to, because you're giving it to him. You're going to lean more on him. You're going to have a freedom that you've never had before. But you got to let it go. You've got to let it go. And maybe, as we talked about this just a few minutes ago, some of you maybe need to come up and say, you know what, Lord, I just need more. I need more faith. Some of you may need to get with the Lord and say, Lord, I can't let it go. But I want to. The Bible tells us to experience the scripture. The Bible says if you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. And when you just get in that conversation and you just let him know, I can't let it go, you just start the conversation. You're drawing yourself to God. And my Bible says, the same as your Bible, that he says, if you will draw close to God, you'd start drawing nigh to God, he will start drawing nigh to you. I love Scripture. Because it's just not words. There's power in it. It's truth. There's experience in it. Number 9. And to do all of this stuff, we have to do this one thing. We've got to trust Jesus. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Many of us know. Lean not on your own understanding. Because I can't figure this thing out. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Submit to him. Got my King James in there. He will make your path straight. Let's be honest. Let's be honest for a minute. Life is hard. Life is tough. It's not an easy. It's not a freebie. Life can be a beast. And life gets ugly. And it's not because you're ugly. But we live in a sinful, broken world, and we are broken people, and we need something to start putting this broken clay back together. And the only one that can do that is Jesus. Amen? Amen? Number 10. I only had 9, didn't I? I thought I had 10. There was a word that was in red that was small on every one of these frames. I don't know if you caught it, but it was peace. What worry do I need to let go of? Because I'm telling you today, if you worry, you have no peace. And you have a wrestling, and you don't have a sense of peace. That peace, I want to tell you, when you have Jesus in your life, and you're letting him be the ruler in your life, and you're letting him lead your life, and you're doing these things, experiencing these scriptures, and you're a work in progress, and you're laying them at his feet, as the Bible tells us, I want to tell you, you're going to get peace when it don't make no sense. Amen? When it makes no sense, there's a peace in you that cannot come from the world. Jesus says, I give you peace that does not come from the world. He gives you a peace when it makes no sense at all. You're the one sitting at the hospital. Listen, when my father was dying, there was a peace that I had that didn't make any sense. It made no sense to me. But there was a peace inside of me. I said, I got this, Jimmy. I got this. I had to let it go. When they come up to you and ask you, and you have a powwow with my mother and my brother, and they said, we pull the plug. I'm telling you, there's a moment there when I struggled with that. But then I said, Lord Jesus, we just kind of prayed this. I said, Lord, he's yours. This worry is not ours. And we made a decision. And we didn't have to. He came out of it that time. Eventually he passed away. 7 months visiting the hospital over and over, wore my mother out. But I understand. When you try to carry those worries over and over, they will wear you down. And it's more than you can handle. And Jesus says, I don't want you to carry that weight. I don't want you to carry that alone. I want you to have peace. Either today you're going to walk out with the worries that you had, or you're walking out with peace, or you're going to be like most of us today when we walk out thinking, and you're in the middle of it. Trying to figure out how to work through this and how to give the worries back to God, how to give the worries to the Lord, not to worry, because it is a process. But you need to be falling toward Jesus. I want the peace. I've done funerals. I'm sure Randy's done several funerals where there was no peace. You can walk in the funeral home and there is no peace. It's the hardest funerals to do. It's the hardest services to do, period. When there is no peace. But man, when there is a peace, you just feel free to preach and share and let people know. It's just kind of a celebration in one sense. Even though you lost a loved one. I felt that way with my father, but there was a peace that only comes when we will let Jesus be Jesus. Jesus didn't come because you can get it right. Jesus came because you can't get it right on your own. He came because you have no hope on your own. He came because you can't handle these worries on your own. He came because you can't save yourself. So if he came, let's let him be Jesus. Amen? So I'm going to ask you today, some of you need to let go of some family issues. You can't fix it. You tried to fix it. It's a fight. Every time you get on the phone, it's a fight. It's an argument. You know it. It's something that may not even taken care of from 10 years ago. We got some of that, some extended family. 10 years ago, it still won't let it go, but you know what? You got to let it go. Okay? Some of you need to lay down the worrying of your financial issues. Because even if you did get this job, look at me real quick now. So many people tell me to pray for them to get a job, and they do. The first thing they do is usually fall out of church. If they don't fall out of church, and they were never giving in the first place without a job, they weren't giving financially and tithing and all those fun things. When they finally get the job, they say, well, I can't afford to give. You see, sometimes God allows us to go through things because we haven't learned a big lesson. It's not about what you're getting to get for yourself. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about you growing up in Jesus. I don't want to grow up in Jimmy. I want to grow up in Jesus. Some of you need to lay those worries down about your health. Listen, we just read it. You can't add a single hour to your life. The doctors are just human. They have gifts and talents and skills, and they can do things and save people's lives. But if it's over, it's over. If it's done, it's done. The Bible says the death, when the angel comes down, he says, this wicked rich fool says he's going to build all these barns, but he does not know that his life will be demanded of him tonight. That's a scary thought. Your life will be demanded tonight. Didn't matter how many physicians was in the house. If God says it's now, it's now. So let's not worry about those things with the health. You know, there's just lay it before the Lord, wrestle with it a little bit, but pray and let it go. Sometimes it's a little bit closer to our hearts. It's a child that went wayward, way out there and left field, running out there like the prodigal son. Listen, sometimes when you're going through those things and you're praying for that child, you know what? God sees you praying more now than you ever did. So sometimes he allows things to happen so that you will draw yourself to him. I don't know what it is that you need to let go of today. But if you don't have peace, I'm pretty sure there's something you need to let go of. Worrying doesn't help anybody. As we said before, worrying stresses you out. But not only you, it stresses your family out. It stresses people out at work. Y'all ever see somebody come in at work and just stressed out? I want to go the opposite direction. Back in there, I want to go over there. Because it's contagious. And Jesus says, stop worrying about everything. Give it to me. So let's go ahead and stand. I want to give you an opportunity. Some of those things, I don't know if you can read them very well, but these are the things that I listed on there I think we worry about. We worry about our health. We worry about our bills. We worry about money, sickness and stress, marriage, court, family, school, things, job, rent, broken relationships, broken friendships, clothes, cars. We worry about everything from A to Z. And I just want to tell you today, God's got it. God's got this thing called life. Now, we'll tell you, if you're asking God to help you financially and you don't want to go get a job, well, then there's a problem. So we have to match up with God's word. Amen? The Bible says, man don't work, you don't eat. All right? So let's just bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. If you feel the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, you know what? And you just need to say, Lord, just give me some strength. Give me faith. Increase my faith. Lord, there's one thing I need to lay down before you tonight. Do that. Don't feel ashamed. Take care of what you need to take care of. What is that concern that's really weighing you down? Jesus says, give it to me. Now look at me now. I know this church. This church is usually a fast mover to the altar, and I don't always ask why. It's the thing that God has always opened up the door here. But when we have the big things in our life, we have a tendency to hold back on the big things. The big things really are hard to let go. And maybe today that's you, and you need to say, you know what? This is my step of faith today. I'm going to draw closer to Jesus today by giving up something in my life that I need to let go of. What worry is that you need to let go of?